Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam,
exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us, and it's also our joy to have with us tonight Sister Hatun all the way from London. And we are very, very thankful that she made it safely and she is joining us tonight. And good to have you, sister. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. So it is 3 a.m. in London.
I understand, but we are amazed how we and I, you and I, can share the screen in my new technology too far around the world. Nobody know how to do that except me, because I'm very smart. Am I right, Christy?
Let's not ask you any hard questions on that.
Say yes, you're right. How's Brother Paul doing?
Pretty good. A little cold here in New York State, but other than that, having a great day.
Well, God is good. Let me pray before we start tonight, and to have the Lord guiding in our meeting. Father God, we give thanks to you because you are an awesome God, and there is none like you. You are the God who created us. You are the one who creates our mind to give us the knowledge to create this technology. We did not actually create it. We just use a little bit of the knowledge you put in our brain, which is the greatest computer, to bring this show to life as we meet from all over the world and our wonderful listener to listen to this broadcast. It is not coincidence, but that is the knowledge which we have received from you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you may help us to use this time wisely, as we know that the Lord, it's late in the hours of the day, and night is about to come where no one can serve, no one can minister to the lost people. So help us, Lord, to truly share your love, your grace, your mercy through this hours, and may the truth will set our dear Muslims free, and so is also the rest of those who do not know you as Lord and Savior. Blessing on Sister Christy, blessing on Brother Paul, blessing on Sister Hatun, blessing on every word come out of our lips tonight, that it will be to honor and to praise you, Lord, that people will be glorified, that people will be glorifying your Son, Jesus Christ, Father God, and may the Holy Spirit will convict us of everything we are not doing right, and the things which we're doing right, we do it even better. May your name be glorified, and we pray all that, Lord Jesus, in the holy name of you. You are the only one whom we can pray through to the Father, and by that name, Jesus, he will answer our prayers. We love you and praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
All right. And I know that you guys have so much questions you would like to share with my dear sister Hatun, and for our wonderful people who watch us, or those who are on the radio broadcast, if you have a question, feel free to hit the one so you can go up the list, and Sister Christy will bring you in. If you want to talk to Hatun, if you would like to ask the question, you can obviously write your question in the chat room there. Brother Paul, if you can get into the chat room also and bring the question. And let's all work together, those on the radio, those who watch us on Facebook. Feel free to even text me on my phone, and I'll be happy to share your comments or your question with Sister Hatun.
Yeah, can I give the phone number out in case someone wants to call in with a question and has not gotten the phone number for the radio broadcast, which would allow you to come in and ask a question? It's 319-527-6706. That's 6706. And if you want to ask a question in the chat room, we'll be watching for that too. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Good, good, good. Now, since Sister Christy Johnson is the producer, she always come up with great point before we start the show. So, Christy, you are it. Go for it.
Well, I want to tell you, I found some very important and enlightening information online, as I usually do. But I wanted to ask you, Usama, your thoughts about the killing of Abu Ibrahim al-Karashi, killed in Syria by Joe Biden.
Yes, indeed. Abu Ibrahim al-Qureshi. Here's the deal, guys. Here's the deal. Abu Ibrahim al-Qureshi. Here's the deal. Remember what I told you 20 years ago when Mr. George W. Bush made the promise with the American people that he will hunt Osama bin Laden and he will kill him. I said there what I would repeat with you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It is waste of even the bullet which took Osama bin Laden. Not just, the effort is a joke. Guys, you have to understand, from the history of Islam, Muslims in leadership are always killed by other Muslims in the same group. Just leave Osama bin Laden alone, and he will be killed by one of his conventions. Leave Abu Ibrahim al-Bilinjani here alone, and most likely he will be killed by one of his people. But when we killed these people, we made them heroes. We made them martyrs. And the Muslims who follow them will step in. You cannot kill the last Muslim. If you think you can kill 1.7 billion, then go ahead, start killing them. But that's not what something will ever happen. Killing the leaders of these jihadi groups will not help you in any shape, but this will energize the group as they're looking for revenge and a good reason why we should kill more Americans or whoever else we can catch around the world. It's a fact. Our war is not against Muslims, but our war is against Islam. Therefore, it is a spiritual warfare. You cannot win a spiritual warfare with bullets and bombs. You can't. So
it's simply called whack-a-mole.
Exactly. Well, that's my point. We are not going to kill innocent Muslims who have nothing to do with the jihad movement, if it is ISIS or if it is Al-Qaeda or Al-Taliban. Can you tell me, Christy, what is the benefit from Mr. Joe Biden to literally empower the Taliban and pay all their dues? I mean, literally, the man is giving them right now billions, not millions. You understand that? He created the Taliban. He put Taliban in power. We went to war against the Taliban for 20 years. And in the end, under Joe Biden, we made them the heroes. We wasted billions of dollars, thousands of blood, of our soul's blood, for nothing. So what is the point from killing one guy who's going to be replaced in 15 seconds by another guy, while at the same time you are empowering the greatest jihadi organization, which is Taliban right now? It's a comedy.
Do you want me to answer?
Yeah. Biden, you're a joke. Biden, you're a comedy. You cannot fool anybody but yourself and the stupid, useful idiot Democrats who follow you. End of the story. Go ahead, please.
Well, the reason he did it is literally because Afghanistan and the withdrawal from Afghanistan was such a disaster. He put the Taliban in power. So in my opinion and the opinion of many others, he wanted to distract from his failure and look like he was a powerful leader killing a terrorist of ISIS. But you know what's amazing? When Trump killed Al-Samani, they all criticized him for that. So now Biden does this, trying to make himself look good. That's my opinion.
I show you the stupidity of the liberal media. They're all stupid. They're sick people in the head. You do not know the right hand. By the way, same thing to Mr. Trump. If you remember in our show, when he killed Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, I said, killing Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi will not bring victory to America. When you kill one of these leaders, expect that they will kill 1,000 or maybe 10,000 of your people in the near future. As we continue to bring the Muslims to America, they will revenge for all this dual killing. What do you think, Hatoum, on this topic here?
I think there are very dangerous ideologies out there, and Islam is one of these dangerous ideologies alongside of some other ideologies. And I don't believe solution to getting rid of the ideologies is simply killing individuals, because you can kill the persons, but you will never able to change the mindset of followers of that ideology. Therefore, I'm someone who kind of thinks 24/7 solution to every problem is Lord Jesus Christ, and of course solution to the ideology of Islam is teachings of Lord Jesus Christ. Killing someone is not going to get rid of the ideology. Therefore, we need to preach our glorious gospel to the Muslim fans, especially before they die.
Amen.
Because when they are dead,
it's too late.
It's too late. They are dead. So we need to get them before someone else kills them. We want to get them out of that false ideology.
Hey, that's awesome. So we were in agreement. We will not disagree about it. It's a spiritual warfare. It cannot be won except by the blood of Jesus Christ, who can set the Muslim people free, because they are victims of Islam.
You know, and we talk a lot about, and in the news every week, there are so many stories of Christians being persecuted and killed. But, you know, the difference is those souls will go to be in heaven with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All of the Muslims who are being killed or killing each other, they will not go to heaven. We are looking at deaths that ends in victory for the Christian. It ends in disaster for Muslims if they don't know Christ. So your point, exactly right. Even though Christians are killed, they're not going to really truly die. They will go and live with Christ. So we would hope Muslims would get saved.
Well,
so important.
I see Brother Adam joined us at the bottom here, and I know he's a shy person. We have to, like, give him a boost, encourage him, maybe clap hands. Go, Adam. You can do it. Jump in, man. Where are you, Adam? Are you still alive?
Brother Osama, you don't have to mention me here. You know that, right? I'm working behind the scenes.
You are the best, and we love you, brother. We would love to hear your voice, because every point you share with us will make a huge difference, especially on the Muslim who do not know this. You know, I always say, I can teach as much as I can teach about Islam, but I just read a book. But when I talk to a man like you or Sister Hatun, you are the living book. So your experience, your talk is not a cheap talk like we can sometimes say, because we have not lived in Muslim world, and we do not know. I live in Muslim world. We have not lived as Muslims, and we do not know how Muslims really think about all this we're doing. So quickly, Adam, tell me, what do you think about the killing of that guy here?
What can I tell you, brother? In the last 1 week, I have received six different threats, and they were very simple and very, very upfront. They don't want to kill me by a gun. They don't want to kill me by hanging. They want to slice my neck off.
Oh.
That's what they said, with a blunt knife, very clearly, openly in the live stream.
Hmm.
So they just want to find me and slice my neck off. So you think they will not do that to anybody? Last week, they killed a person in India who is proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. Burned a Pakistani Christian alive on the streets of Pakistan after beating him near to death and then dragging him on the charcoal road and then burning him when he's almost half dead. Let me just put it this way. So are you seriously asking me this question, brother?
No,
I'm a walking dead man every day.
Yeah, I understand. So what we're seeing here, for our government to brag about himself and Mr. O'Biden and all the liberal media hugging him and considering him a hero for killing one Muslim leader, it's nothing. This is a comment. This is not something we should celebrate, because with all respect, that Muslim man who was, by the way, he committed suicide. I don't think we actually killed him. He killed himself. He killed his wife and his children. Whoever else he killed, that man is right now burning in hell. So it is a lost. As I said years ago, when Obama claimed that he killed Osama bin Laden, I said, I wish we have a chance to minister the gospel to him one more time before they give him the bullet, if they have done that, because it's a mystery, and I don't believe it was happening at my household. But it's a comedy. It's a sorrowful celebration. It's a joke, and I hate to see it happening to anybody, and I wish we truly do what is right. Fight this war against Muslims in a spiritual way, which means we don't shoot them to kill them, but we share the truth of the gospel with them, that maybe they can be set free and become a Christian. What a wonderful thing for me to have two ex-Muslims in this podcast tonight. This could happen to any other Muslim.
That's right.
Can I jump in?
Sure, sister. Go ahead.
just, I think it's helpful for us to remember a couple of weeks ago, Open Doors published a research, and they put together that one every seven Christians are being persecuted because of their faith worldwide. One out of seven, and that's a huge number. So today our brothers and sisters are being persecuted simply because they have fallen in love with Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is not something we should be discouraged or bang our heads around, because Lord Jesus Christ knew that his lovers will be persecuted.
Yes.
It is not something surprising to anyone who kind of walking with Lord Jesus Christ. It is not surprising them to see, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be persecuted. Not because I put my car in wrong place or I did some crazy things, but because of Lord Jesus Christ, because you are preaching glorious gospel, you are expressing your worship, you are honoring our crying God, therefore you will be persecuted.
Yeah.
And he says, take heart. Do not be afraid. Take heart, because I have overcome it all. Why? Because we've got King of Universe, the one who created everything and everyone, who holds the universe by the power of his word, stepped into the world, gave himself on the cross for us,
mm-hmm.
yet waged war against death, waged war against death, and he conquered the death.
Amen.
So therefore we are not, I disagree with Adam in the sense of his walking dead. Maybe people look at you and then you say, yep, you are a dead man. But Lord Jesus Christ looks at you and he says, I love you. You are belong to me and you are alive in me and you will be alive with me forever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That is huge privilege. And it is huge privilege. Like around us, we've got billions of people who never come across Christians. Around us, we've got billions of people who never heard the gospel, and now lots of people are running away from Islam, running away to the Western countries that we are not ready for them yet. But that is still giving us opportunity to preach our glorious gospel to them.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
That King of Universe,
mm-hmm.
who calls Adam, Osama, or you beloved as his brand,
trust that it is glorious gospel. Yeah, but also don't forget that Jesus' teaching is very clear in the scripture. It teaches that whoever forsake his life for me, he will gain it, and whoever will hold onto his life, he will lose it. Because this is the reality. If we are a believer in Christ and we don't worry about our life and we live for Christ, no matter what happens, we are gonna win. In the end, we're gonna be a winner, because the worst thing could happen to us, dying in the flesh, but we be in present with the Lord forever and ever. What a great, glorious, joyful day this will be, to be out of here and to be with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And BMW 635 CSI said that, what about the breaking news in Pakistan, three Christian pastors shot, killed by a Pakistani gunman after Sunday mass? That is correct, but not all three of them were killed. Only two of them were killed. The third one had three bullet holes in his clothes, but none of the bullet made more than a scratch for him. So actually two were killed. One was not killed. They are in Pakhtunkhwa, Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, the province Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. And these are Pathans. They are very aggressive people, but at the same time, a lot of Pathans are getting out of this cult of Islam. I just had a talk with a Pathan today who said a lot of thanks to me, even though that he shouldn't be, and I told him that he is now out of Islam.
Amen.
And he is trying to find the truth. So there is a lot of Pathans getting out of this cult, and some Pakistani pastors are giving them support. You will not find this information online.
Yeah.
And that's why these pastors are being shot dead in Pakhtunkhwa. So
wow.
They don't want these ex-Muslims to be physically and emotionally supported
mm-hmm.
by Christians.
Mm.
Right. Usama, if I can have a minute, and just because, like myself, many of our listeners may not know Hatun Tash, and I just want to take a minute to share something. If any of you are familiar with Robert Spencer at Jihad Watch, he has an article dated July 25th, 2021. That's just a few months back. And the story is from the UK. Muslim reportedly stabs Christian speaker Hatun Tash at Speaker's Corner. And the story is there discussing what occurred. And I just want people to know that Hatun is not just talking about this challenge to share the gospel, but actually, can you tell us what happened when you were sharing the gospel? I mean, I know that's why you were there at Speaker's Corner. Rather than me read about this, what can you tell us about that ministry that you were trying to do?
So I don't think I read Robert Spencer's article, and I'm someone who doesn't believe that much about online, what is said about me or in online. But so I am someone who goes to Speaker's Corner in London, place of freedom of speech, apparently heart of freedom of speech, where you go there to share your views, as well as you go there to share your controversial views. So people who come there, they know they are there to meet with people who would disagree what they say and what they believe. So therefore, it is known as place of debate and discussion. In such a places, we get to say sometimes things take place they shouldn't be taking place. Get people who get so sensitive regarding what you say, or I don't know, how you brush your hair, what kind of high heels shoes you wear. People get sensitive with those kind of things. And when people are not falling in love with Lord Jesus Christ, of course, we get to see different way of approaching instead of having debates and discussions. One of the days back in July, today's New Day, someone tried to kill me. But by God's grace, it wasn't my time to go home. Lord Jesus Christ is worthy for everything. He's the one who gives life. He's the one who takes life. You don't want to, knowing that you are going to spend eternity with trying God. Therefore, you just go and throw yourself in front of the bus or put yourself in dangerous situations, because you don't want to end up in front of Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, and then Jesus is going to say, excuse me, this is not your time. Why are you here now? So it will be his time with his plans. Whenever it's time for me to go home, I'll go home. But I am confident that life hard or life easy, life is beautiful. It is gift from God, and every breath we take in and we give out, we need to use that to honor our glorious God. When he's worthy, when it is ready to go home, we will go home. While we are here, we take our part to be privileged in the work he put us, and then we continue. So I attend the Speaker's Corner, and then I go involved with some other ministries to share our glorious gospel, as well as critique and challenge the teachings of Islam. So when you are involved in somehow with the ideology of Islam, I am sure none of us kind of far from this, you do get to see life is a little bit different or even sometimes difficult. But all I can say is when people don't know Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have much expectations from them. So therefore, we get on our knees, we pray that Lord Jesus, by the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, they will repent and turn to him. I think that answers your question, sister.
I think that was very good, very humble of you to answer in that way.
She learned humility from me, Christy. She learned humility from
me. Oh, really?
Humble. I am not very humble. I am the most humble.
No, but
well, I want to tell you that a young lady that sent a message to me, I hope she's listening to, I believe it was a young lady, it was a Muslim name. They shared that they had become a Christian. They wanted to share this program so other people who are Muslim in her family could come to know Jesus Christ. And I think this is a sad thing that many times in America we don't think about. Every Muslim who comes to Christ has a family that they want to see also be set free. And this is the heart of many who have become Christians are really separated from their families and want their families to be saved. Am I getting that right, Hatun, that this is the...
When you choose to respond to the love Lord Jesus Christ pours on you, and if you are coming from an ideology which simply hates our glorious God, that causes and separates families. So when someone, even in UK, when someone simply turns to Lord Jesus Christ, it is very common. I'm not even talking about in Muslim countries. In Muslim countries, it's out of control. But it is very common in Western part of the world that their family will kick them out. They will cut all the relations, all the financial support, and all the kind of community. But as I expressed earlier, yes, you get to lose everything and everyone, because that's your family. That's where you are belong to. That's the ideology you kind of learn to love or learn to practice. You don't have anyone else beside of your Muslim community. Once you kind of give that up, you leave your best friend hates you now. Your mom hates you now. Your mom biologically programmed to love you, but because of Lord Jesus Christ, they hate you. Your father, who is biologically programmed to love you, take care of you, protect you, suddenly becomes your enemy, and that's for the rest of the community. But Lord Jesus Christ is worthy. Yeah. And it is strange that while Islam kind of puts the death penalty for those who chooses to walk away from Islam, if you think about it, so when soon after the death of Lord Jesus Christ, there is a persecution in the church. People are being persecuted, given to the lions, because of they believe in Lord Jesus Christ. And soon after kind of being Christian, become kind of legal, almost kind of allowed, but people's attitude towards God changed, because it become very easy and comfortable to be a Christian. But doesn't matter if you are not just a Christian who is working with people group who don't know Lord Jesus Christ. Our glorious gospel is worthy, and it helps us to fall in love and depend on our God. Yes, it is very difficult, especially first minimum of first 5 years. It's very difficult for every ex-Muslim. And I'm sure Adam would agree with me. Probably it will get easier after 5 years, and then if you've got babies, after 5 years, that will make it easier. But it is difficult. You give up everything. And we do pray that body of Christ will step in and then meet with the needs of ex-Muslims in the intention of discipling them, also becoming their family, hoping that Acts chapter 2 will be practiced. So I think short answer to your question is, yes, people have to go through persecution, but bottom line is Lord Jesus Christ is worthy. And ex-Muslims, especially ex-Muslims, are aware of that. They don't sign up into Christ knowing, oh yeah, I'm going to get a comfortable life. They sign up into Christ knowing, they get into that covenant knowing that this life is going to be difficult, but Lord Jesus Christ has promised that he will be with me and he overcame all. John 16:33, and nothing and no one can change that fact. Therefore, we focus our eyes, our hearts, to one who crucified and risen for us.
Amen.
Praise the
Amen.
Lord.
I would like to add a few sentences over here. The first one here is the most difficult one. So we accepted Christ very close to Christmas. So the whole church knew us to be a new ex-Muslim. So the first Christmas was awesome. A lot of people came in, but none of our family. None of our family. Nobody from our family wished us Christmas. But at least we had people around us. The next Christmas, we had no one. That's Western society.
Yeah.
That's in the West, people don't live like a ummah. They don't live like a community. They have just their own family. When we talk about the Eden in the Islamic world, it doesn't matter whether somebody has a family or not. It's the neighbors who would come in. It's everyone. And we had the Christmas. And I spoke about it on one of the channels. They said, hey, you are with your own family, so this is the best Christmas ever. Dude, that's not how Muslim in the Eastern world lives. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The first year is the most difficult year. You are cut off from everyone, and your friends don't even know what you believe in right now. You are a hidden ex-Muslim. Then you are living a life of a lie in front of them. You are nothing for them. They won't even think twice to leave you, forget you, kill you, kick you, beat you, stab you. And that's not a lie. That is an absolute truth. And the first couple of years is the most difficult years for an ex-Muslim to accept Christ. And I think, personally, if you have bypassed these 2 years in the West, I'm sorry to say, West is not a good place to live for Christians as an ummah. I don't know how to translate ummah. But,
as a nation, as a group, as a one unit.
Where Jesus said we are one family in him. He made us out of a slavery situation into a family, and then we as a follower of Christ are not one family.
Yeah.
And I would 120% agree with Sister Hatun. We are the people because of whom a lot of ex-Muslims might go back to Islam or atheist or agnosticism, even though that they have accepted Christ, but they don't see the biblical teaching in humans around them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see that. And now that comes to this super chat, not super chat, the chat that is in there. This guy, Siddiqui, and you can see from his name, he's an ex-Muslim for sure. And I don't want to reveal anything more about this guy. He said, is Worldwide Christian Brotherhood is doing anything for the persecuted Christian around the world? Now, let's talk about persecuted Christian in Pakistan explicitly. This is Siddiqui. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What are we doing for them?
You know what's amazing, Adam? Just today, a few hours ago, I was talking to Sister Hatun. And I said, the liberal media in America are making a big deal about the persecution of the Muslims in China. Just the last few months. But wait a minute. Where is any station in America talk about the persecution of the Christians in China the last few hundred years? I mean, what is so amazing about the involvement of the liberal media of some Muslims who are still alive, and they work in some sweat shop and they're beaten physically. What about the Christian who are killed and burned alive or beheaded after seeing their own beloved ones, their daughters and their wife being raped? which is happening all over the Muslim world for the last 1,400 years. Why we don't talk about the persecution of the Christians? Why we only get so much smart and slick about the persecution of the Muslim of China? Believe me, if you get the Muslim China to have the strength, and the other hand, like the Muslim Saudi Arabia, they will do exactly what the rest of the Muslims have done the last 49 years to the Chinese. Trust me, this will be the end result of that being let them grow. So it's a myth. I don't want to see anybody persecuted. I don't want to see atheist or gay or lesbian or whatever, or a Muslim or Christian. And I don't want to see anybody persecuted. I want to have freedom. But don't you dare take up the side of the Muslim in China and forget about the side of the Christian in the whole world.
I would say that I was sorry to interrupt.
Hold on, buddy. But Osama, you have not answered the question.
What was the question, bro?
Yeah.
What is the West doing for the persecuted Christians in those locations where they are minorities? Can we do something? And I think Hatun would agree with me because she has seen those persecutions happening in Turkey, in Iran, Iraq, Pakistan.
I'm sorry, I missed your question or I misunderstood that's a question from you. Here is the answer. We, the church in America, have more power than you can imagine. And the only thing we do to the persecuted church in few of the churches in America that we set a Sunday for every country, so that 56 Muslim countries, and today we're going to pray for the persecuted Muslims of Asia. Today, we're going to pray for the persecuted Muslims of Pakistan or Afghanistan. And what the church would do, we just lift a small, tiny prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, watch over our dear brothers and sisters who are persecuted in Saudi Arabia. And that's all we do. We're not doing anything. We have power to end the persecution in the world. And the Church of America, for the last 100 years, I'm not doing that. But we're doing the opposite. Now we send money to the Taliban of Afghanistan to make sure that they are fed. Why the Afghanistani Talibani Muslims are persecuting the Christian of Afghanistan? I can't imagine. Why are we doing that? Why are we sending money to Egypt, where the Brotherhood of Egypt are persecuting the Christian Egypt and every other country? I'm not going to go one country at a time, to waste another hour to name the Muslim world. Why can't we say, as in America, we're sending you billions of dollars, treat our body of flesh, of blood of flesh, the body of Christ in your country, humanely. Do not persecute. You persecute them, that's fine. We say that. $3-5 billion we send it to you. You do this one time. One time. Cut the money off of these Muslim countries who are persecuting the Christian in their homeland. Trust me. They will honor the Christian. They will respect the Christian because at least we're sending their financial needs. But no, we're not doing that. Why? Because the church have not seen the persecution. Wait. Because what you plant today, for sure, you will harvest tomorrow. And I believe the Church of America will be persecuted, and that's when America will have revival. That's when the Church of America will wake up to realize that the true persecution of their brothers and sisters all over the world for the last 1,400 years by the Muslims and the other people all over the world who are persecuting the Church, and we care less. So the answer, Adam, is we have to wait until the Church in America really, really get persecuted. And that will be the end of life on this world anyway. And the answer is Christ will bring his job.
Can I make a quick comment on that? Sorry.
Sure, sir.
This is just different way of looking at the things. And I'm guessing it won't get that much support what I'm going to say. But so biblically, we do have responsibility to take care of one another, look after one another, and share each other's burdens. Galatians chapter 6. Carry each other's burdens, and in that way, you will fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen.
So our first responsibility is to the family, to the body of Christ. And in John's Gospel, Lord talks about the way you love one another, that the world will know that you are my disciples. The way you love one another, the world will know Father sent his Son, therefore they will fall in love with the Father. So there is that. Biblical structure on how brothers and sisters, we need to look after one another because that's how Lord tells us to do so. but also helpful to remember persecution has been very, very normal. It's like throughout church history. That doesn't mean we simply turn blind eyes when we see our brothers and sisters are being persecuted, but it helps us to think, actually, we are not victims of persecution. We are the people. I hope that like, we are persecuted because of Christ, not because we are like different things. But we are people who are belong to Lord Jesus Christ. We are people whose identity is in Christ. We are people whose name is graved in the hands of Lord Jesus Christ. We are the people who call Lord Jesus Christ to have holes in his hand and holes in his feet. We are people who are being saved. We are not victims. Yes, persecution is awful. Yes, none of us wants to be in a place where we get to see our brother and sister is suffering. But we are not victims of persecution.
You know, you saw the... If I can take a second, one of the big problems I've had for years, and you know this, the church is full of people who don't know Jesus. I believe that is the problem. The churches are full of people who have not even received Christ. They're just in the habit of going to a meeting. And I'm sorry to say that, but people like Adam and people like Hatun may be here to wake up the Christians to what it really means to love the Lord. Because I am so frustrated and have been for years that you go in a church and they do not want to get too excited about anything that happens outside the walls where they are trying to keep members there by having events, having activities, having a sermon, having a chorus. Okay, all that's fine, but that's all there is. And I'm sorry, but the people who love Jesus are probably maybe less than half of the people that are sitting in the congregation. And we need to have the understanding of people literally putting their life in the hands of Jesus Christ for the sake of the gospel. And that is a message that people like Hatun, people like Adam are bringing to this country, because it's like those people are the ones that are coming here to minister salvation to the Christians in America who are not really Christians. I'm sad to say this.
I would say the number one thing that needs to happen in the West for them to begin to, I think there was a great question earlier about the Ummah of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people, wake up. Start leaving those places that are called churches and start going to the place they preach the word of God. I don't care what church you're in. If they're not preaching the word of God, they're not picking up the Bible and telling you what is true from there, get out. Any place you hear this social justice stuff, get out. That's not a church. That is a social organization that exists for its own benefit. Get out. It's time to go find a church where they preach the word of God, and then you want to. Then you have another duty.
And you know what?
Immersing yourself in the word of God.
Amen.
That is the only way it works. If you work on yourself, and let God work on everybody else.
Brother Paul.
Time to stop playing these games.
Sure. Brother Paul, I was talking to a couple just a few days ago, and they said, in our community, we do not find one conservative church. I said, you start a conservative church. You have a Bible study in your living room. I promise you, within a few months, you will have a big size church, because there is no community in America which does not have true believers. And sadly, because there is not a conservative church, they choose to stay home. And that is another victory from the devil in our life. So you don't have a conservative church, start a church in your living room and meet with one couple, and the couple will be four, and the four will be eight, and then you add to the church those who believe, as it is in Act 2. The problem is we added too many people in the midst of the congregation who do not believe, and we did it for the hope that someday they will believe. And guess what? Now they're in control of the church. Sadly, now there's no truth in that church, and the church became maybe a good place for the future for Muslims to go and speak about the love of Allah and the peace of Islam and the joy of Muhammad. And that is exactly what's happening in America. Many liberal churches in America who welcome the Muslim and love the Muslim and bring the Muslim to America, but at the same time, they're not loving them for Jesus. They're literally loving the Muslims for hell. And maybe, as you said, Brother Paul, if you are a church or not conservative church, they're not preaching the word of God and the truth of the gospel, maybe it's time for you to leave and start a church in your living room.
You know, remember there's a scripture that talks about the Jewish people being provoked to envy because of what would happen with the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. I honestly feel like that is a very applicable situation, that Christians who are in nominal churches, they really are not feeling or recognizing their connection to the body of Christ around the world and the persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. You know what? They're going to be provoked to jealousy from those who have come here out of persecution, who have stood up for Jesus. And you know what? They should be provoked to jealousy, saying, look at what these people have in Jesus Christ, and why don't we have this? Maybe we've just been too able to have the things we need. And we've talked about persecution being, oh, somebody at work said something mean to me. That's not persecution. Goodness.
That's the comedy of persecution in America. I hope soon I'm going to have with us a gentleman by the name Bob, who's going to share with us about his testimony about trying to awaken the church in Kansas City, Missouri, who are right now having a ministry to the Muslim Afghani who are not ministering to the Afghani at all. They just love on them by teaching them English, love on them by giving them their physical needs of food and clothes and furniture, but they're not sharing the gospel with them. And I'm glad to have with us tonight Sister Hatun. I'm going to put her on the spot here to ask her, tell me or educate us about your ministry to the Muslims in England inside the mosque. What do you do exactly to go inside the mosque? Because trust me, there is not one church in America, let me say it again, there is not one church in America who have a ministry to the Muslim in America, where it's a free country. We are more free. We have more freedom in America than all Europe together. And I never heard of a ministry in America who are the men of the church, not a lady in the church like Sister Hatun, but the men of the church who love Jesus so much, who wanted to go to China or to Saudi Arabia to teach the Muslim about Jesus. I never heard of any of these people go to a mosque in America to do a Bible study. Sister Hatun, I know that this is part of your ministry. Educate us. What exactly are you doing? I mean, I have not done it. Yes, in Indonesia, I did a couple of times spoke in a mosque, outside the mosque, because I will not allow me to go inside the mosque there. And I just share the story from the Bible. And that's all I did. But I never really shared the gospel with the Muslim in a mosque in my life. Would you share with us in whatever amount of time you have or you wish to come to this topic, how you do this Bible study in the mosque in London? Go ahead.
Before I answer that question, I just want to point out something which you mentioned, that Body of Christ or Beloved of Christ are traveling the different parts of the world to preach the gospel. As they never visit the mosque or they never engage with Muslims in the gospel-centered conversations, I find actually that disturbing. It is, you know, you've got teenage child who comes back from the school with like all messed up version after the school and then talks about all of his dreams, how he wants to change the world, what are the things he can do to change the world. And then you open his door and then like messy bed and then all messed up food around. He couldn't even tidy his bed or he doesn't even put his place by the sink, yet he's planning to change the world. I think that is very, very similar if in the body of Christ we've got brothers and sisters who didn't even bother to engage with lost people in this part of the world, decided to travel to another part of the world to meet with Muslims and preach the gospel. I would see that as a danger, but of course, on the other hand, I am aware that such a decisions are usually made by prayerfully considerations, and they I hope they heard from the Lord and they're simply being faithful. Lord says to them. regarding the visiting the mosques and doing Bible studies in the mosques, I think I don't know where you all live, but the area London is a very big place. I live outside of London these days, but we got lots of mosques. When I say lots of mosques, I mean lots of mosques. And the area I live, it's very, very small area, 16 mosques, registered mosques, and within 10 minutes, less than a mile, we do have 5 mosques. You go to church on Sundays and they don't come to church. So they don't, they're a strong community, they don't engage with Christians. And you look down and then you see heart of Lord Jesus Christ on them. They have not repented. They have not accepted Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So what you've got to do is you turn up the mosque and then preach the gospel. If they are not bothering to come to church, they are good when it comes to hospitality and food. You can simply turn up the mosque and then engage with them. So in the mosques, you've got ladies sections and men's sections. I usually go and introduce myself to Imam and then tell him I want to have a conversation with Imam after he finishes his Friday khutbah. And then from that, I just listen what he says. In that moment, you pray that sermon is English so that you can understand and ask some questions. If it is not English, then that's just messed up anyway. you listen what was the khutbah about, and then you kind of go and then tell them you are Christian. I would say I'm Christian. I believe Bible is the reliable word of God. I believe in triune God, one God, one being God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, and Son of God, Lord Jesus Christ, stepped into the world and died on the cross for my sins. Do you have any problem with it? And so far I haven't come across with any imam who said, no, they didn't have any problem. So they do have a problem with it. And then say, great, let's have conversation on this. And then you just get on with it. And you get to see actually how hungry they are for Lord Jesus Christ. You get to see actually even the imams don't know very basics of Islam. And that breaks our heart because those are the people who are leading people in prayer, all those kind of things. And all you can do is go back again and preach our glorious gospel, because solution to their hunger, solution to their soul is Lord Jesus Christ. So you set up Bible studies, discussions and debates. Let's study what Luke chapter 15 talks about it, but let's deal with your objections. Let's see what Bible says about this, as well as you get to have the privilege of asking and practicing your questions on them. And then you help them sometimes to find very basic answers to the very basic questions. You will be shocked. I don't know how it is in the States, but you will be shocked how in UK, not only imams don't know their religion, not only Dawagans don't know their religions, but also there is this movement going on. People, out of hunger for the truth, out of hunger for the, what is the word for that? Out of hunger for the real God, you get to see imams are leaving Islam and turning to Christ. You get to see women who can't even read Arabic, can't even speak kind of average English, is willing to give up Islam and turn to Lord Jesus Christ. You get to see doctors are leaving Islam and turning to Lord Jesus Christ, as well as you get to see people who just don't want Islam and they want to look into Christian faith. God is actively involved in their journey, is picking those people up, gently forcing them, transforming them, and allowing them to fall in love with Him.
Amen.
I think that answers your question, brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. I hate to talk about that. Your fear for being in a mosque, your fear for talking to strangers. Obviously, I know from your character, you're not a person to be afraid, but what is your advice? I mean, there's things we need to be equipped to get rid of these feelings, and I'm not qualified, I'm not ready, I do not know what to say, I do not know what to do. How can we be in a better position, a better place, that maybe some of those who are watching us right now will follow your steps and do the same in the local mosque with the local Muslims in this community here in America?
So I think, first of all, I'm afraid to turn up to mosque with a bunch of men who can't even control their emotions, and then lots of negative things happen, lots of tension happens, lots of violence happens. But my feelings are not that important. I wake up in the morning and I know it breaks the heart of Lord Jesus Christ to know that there is a Christian who lives in that small town and there are lots of people who don't know him yet. That breaks the heart of Lord Jesus Christ. We are his hands and his feet to preach our glorious gospel. And it is a privilege that he's asking us to go and do so. So when you have the callings, or when you have your conscience is not clear, when you see that people who don't know Jesus, your conscience says to you, they need to repent, because hell is serious. And our triune God is beautiful and delightful. Therefore, you step in and then go. It's not like fear and other emotional things. They are there, but you go with Lord Jesus Christ. You prayfully go, and when it is, when kind of you hear from the Lord, he says, okay, don't go to that mosque today, or don't go to that street today. You just move away. Another thing is, I don't know if you've got a mosque in your town, or even you've got a Muslim in your neighborhood, and you haven't told them what makes your heart beat in the morning. You haven't told them how much you are desiring the word of God. You haven't told them how beautiful our triune God. I think you need to do some checkup for your heart.
Amen.
Yes.
You can't be living, this is not only for Muslims, you can't be living among non-believers knowing that they are still non-believers and have comfortable lives. I cannot sleep because I know there are people who haven't heard the gospel who I met today. I can't go to bed comfortably because I know I missed opportunities. Of course, I am very much aware that God is in control of everything and everything in his time and his will and for his glory. But as a simple human, you kind of say, oh yeah, I missed another opportunity. That if a person dies, that person is going to go to hell. There is no ice cream in hell. There is no sunbathing in hell. But above all, there is no dwelling of God in hell. So therefore, it is serious place. It calls eternal Son of Father to give himself for us. So I would just encourage those of you to do a little bit heart checkup and then see what Lord says to you. I think it is very important. Your prayer life is very important, that you actively communicate with God, hear from him, and have accountability, brothers and sisters, who keep you accountable, what you do, what are your thoughts, who keeps you challenging on how are you doing things. Those are like basic things. I know I shouldn't verbalize those things, but I just did it anyway. So your relationship with God comes first, and then you turn up wherever Lord pulls you. If you are going to go and engage with anyone, and if you identify yourself as the lover of Lord Jesus Christ, first you need to know that your heart simply beats with Lord Jesus Christ. That means you need to know your scripture. You need to know the word of God well. You need to know why you are Christian today. If you are engaging with Muslims, you need to have answer why you are not Muslim today. So you don't have to know everything about everything. And we can't know, we are not God. But you need to have sufficient knowledge on why you are Christian, why you are not Muslim. And you turn up to Muslims in the mosque, on the street, in the shops, wherever they are. Right now they are in everywhere. Right? And then you simply ask them, why are you Muslim? What is the good news of Islam which Islam offers you? Ask simply basic question, and then no worries, they don't have answer, their answer is Jesus never said I'm God worshiping, all that question. But you need to know your faith sufficient enough, as well as you need to be curious about not what your Muslim friends like, where they go to shopping, how lovely they are, but you need to know what does Islam teach you. Because when you engage with people, you are not engaging with them on their feelings or on their views. You are engaging with them the ideology they follow. So you need to start having very basic knowledge, Islam. And first basic knowledge you need to know about Islam is Islam denies our glorious gospel. That's the first thing you need to know about. Second thing is, it is so dangerous. That's more than enough sufficient knowledge for you. With that knowledge, you should be able to turn up the mosque.
Amen.
And if you need help in, like, on certain topics, I don't know, Osama is here, Tony is here, Christy is here, Adam is here. So get in touch with brothers and sisters and then say, well, that is the part I need some help. I don't know how to engage on this topic with a Muslim, and then equip yourself. We live in a time where we spend lots of time on in front of the television, walking on the streets and chit-chatting. We could spend those times to read, gain knowledge, and put that knowledge in practice, because our first goal is, our end goal is making sure that people turn to God, Jesus Christ, by hearing our glorious gospel.
I have a question, and I think this is something that Hatun could give me a good response to. The difficulty I've had a couple of times is you will see Muslim families together, but also occasionally you will see a Muslim woman by herself. And I'm not sure about approaching a woman who might be with her husband. Is this going to be a problem if you're speaking to her about the Lord, or is it better to approach, you know, I know you're talking about talking with various Muslims. Are there any guidance about speaking to a woman who might be, you know, perhaps approachable, but then you don't know how her husband might respond or the family might respond, or do you just talk with all of them?
Beloved of Christ, I think I am wrong person to answer that question, because I don't think I go with the gender structure. For me, doesn't matter they are male, female, husband, wife, kids, they don't know Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I don't see any problem when I turn up the mosque with knowing there are only men, or I don't see there is any problem. Your kind of approach to woman when husband is not there. But I am very much aware that there are certain structures. Important thing is that you are accountable to someone.
Okay.
Because there is like lots of things circulate around in those lines. So you don't want to kind of put yourself into temptation in any platform or any situation, or be part of anything which might cause you to stumble. I am very much aware that there is like woman-to-woman approach, which is strongly encouraged. Man and man-to-man approach is strongly encouraged. For me, Lord Jesus Christ died for men and for women, for
yes.
married and for singles, for Jewish and for Gentiles, for all people group and all people, all people group and all tribes. Therefore, if your brother doesn't feel comfortable to come to mosque with you, even though you pay them to turn up the mosque with you, what are you going to do? Pull back because your brother doesn't want to come to mosque with you. And that is an opportunity to preach the gospel. First of all, we are all different.
Right.
My character is very different than your character. My style will be very different than your style. And sadly, there is no formula which works for everyone.
Yes.
Because everyone is different, unique. And that's a good thing because our God is unique. You don't want everyone to look like you or be like you. But for me, we just need to make sure we do have people around us who keep us accountable and challenge us with our approach so that we don't put us in a place where we will stumble or where we will be in temptation. But so far, I haven't been in a place that Lord told me, stop, because there is no man can come with you, or stop. Because you shouldn't approaching the man or another gender, but yeah, that's something I think you need to
I'd like to add one more thing to what Sister Hafun said. You know, having small booklet or small material, maybe Lord can use it. And I hold in my hand here the straight way to eternal life, the straight way to eternal life. I know you guys are familiar with it. I mentioned before in the past. It's a small booklet of 24 pages. So if you ever meet with a woman or with a man or with a family, sometimes there's no time to sit and talk. He will tell you, I'm sorry, I have to go. We're going to work. We're running late. And if you're in a gas station, there's not enough time. If you are inside the Walmart or Publix or Home Depot or Menards, and you're the check line and you see the small booklet, I always keep this with me. And I keep them in my pocket, and sometimes I take four, five, just, I don't know. I bought some, I never use them, sometimes I use them. And I see a Muslim family or a Muslim lady, and it will not take but a second. Ma'am, do you speak English? Oh, you do? Oh, great. I wrote that booklet just for you. And by the way, my name in the back, my telephone number in the back. Would you please have a chance to read it? And if you have any questions, feel free to call me back. That ended. So it's not always we have the longest opportunity, and you never know. Maybe that will open the door for the next person who's going to share with this what particular person you're talking to have a golden opportunity to reach out and do more. So we don't have to have a half hour to talk or 15 minutes to talk, just 1 minute. I literally can do it in 20 seconds. Ma'am, sir, do you speak English? Oh, I got this book. I wrote it just for you. I always joke about this. And people look at me, I said, I'm serious. My name in the back, my diploma in the back. And you can go online and find more about me. But would you please read it? If you have any questions, please call. That's how easy it is.
Yeah, you can.
I'm actually using those in my church, and we are handing them out almost every Sunday. So
I've got short booklets, which I give out, and then you've got your phone number after it. But also practical tips, for example. You need to know why you are Christian. And if the person you are going to speak is not Muslim, and why you are not Muslim, and you should verbalize that in less than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And when that finishes, you need to have a question to the person. If the person chooses to walk away, of course, let them go. But they heard why you are Christian. They heard why you are not Muslim. You left them with the question. That is helpful. And one of the things I noticed in Britain is about 6 years now, when a Muslim woman becomes a Christian, it is practical side is very difficult because I'm also involved in plugging them into the churches and their discipleship process. Practical side is very difficult for Muslim woman, especially if she's married.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I noticed when a Muslim man becomes a Christian, he brings all of his family to Christ very soon. Versus when a Muslim woman becomes a Christian, it is practically difficult to disciple her, plug her into the church, and she doesn't even feel comfortable to express anyone that she's Christian.
That's very good, because that was kind of the heart of my question, concerns about approaching a woman with a Muslim family, because What is she going to do?
Their dignity, their values being taken away from them because of Islam.
Yes.
They need gospel.
Yes.
In England, I've got all those statistics in the ministry I'm involved. My statistics show man is able to bring all of his household. Like, I've got imams who left Islam. Now all of their household is Christian now. Versus you've got one Muslim individual woman in ex-Muslim woman in one part, and still you are struggling to this. Because when she goes to church on Sunday for 2 hours, what she's going to say to the husband, there is a problem.
Yes.
Or if someone sees her with someone who is not covered and they are reading the Bible in a coffee shop, she has to explain that to the lots of people. So that is always kind of this scarceness, which is very normal because some of them needed to give up their children. So you get to hear those stories. So you can't kind of push them into certain things. You can just encourage them to fall in love with Jesus more and more so that their heart can sweeten towards him and they will do what he's telling them. But until that stage, practical side is very difficult. And then I saw actually men are the ones who are bringing all of the household to Christ. You just say, okay, I'll focus on men because that's much practical and easier.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, it is all God's work anyway.
But I also believe a wise woman led by the Spirit of God, first of all, she will become a Christian by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if she's a wise woman, she will also have a great effect on ministering to her husband and her children. So God can use it either way. God can use it either way.
God, you thank you. He will use everyone, everything. It's just, as soon as we know that individuals fall in love with Lord Jesus Christ and they are being satisfied what he's offering them, I think Lord Jesus Christ takes care of rest. I know sisters who come to Christ and they introduce Jesus to their husband and they're involved in ministry now. And also I know ex-Muslims who've been ex-Muslim for 8 years, they even lost their husband or their sister know that they are Christian.
Hmm.
So you've got all different brains.
Yes.
And because they are all different. So God works in different brains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things, I'm just going to say this, and Christians out there may not like it, but problem, you know, we've been trying to get Christians in the church to minister to unsaved people that were not Muslim. And many of them have not even done that. So when they're saying, I don't feel like I can do this or I'm not equipped, maybe some of them need to start with, you know, their neighbors who may not be saved, because that experience of listening to the Lord and trusting, it isn't about you anyway. I know that you know that. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And if you know Jesus, then you have to trust that he will give you the ability to do what he commands, and that is for us to share the gospel with every creature. But a lot of Christians, because Christianity is broadcast on the TV, it's on the radio, everybody's saying you can hear it anywhere. So a lot of people have neglected their personal responsibility to lead others to Christ. So to say, well, share the gospel with a Muslim, I mean, for some people, I'm sure that's very overwhelming. But you got to start somewhere, because your neighbor could become a Muslim because they've never heard the gospel shared with them on a personal basis. We all have to do that.
My students... one of my last years teaching was the first time I had students who had never heard of Jesus.
Wow.
And that says something. I mean, where I am located, one of the greatest evangelists of all time came through Rochester, New York. And that's Charles Finney I'm talking about.
Wow.
And it became a dry county as a result. I mean, people, there was so many people saved that even National Geographic in the late 1970s, early 80s, wrote an article about how people from Rochester, New York are in every mission field, and they have been since the time of Charles Finney.
Wow.
But we're now in a time period here where the children don't know who Jesus is. That's the period of darkness that we're in, because we are not doing our job as believers. We're not raising our children in the right way.
Mm.
We're not sharing Christ with those who don't know.
You know what, Brother Paul? I'll share this quickly. The Mormons know how to do discipleship. We Christians don't. In Mormonism, and you know about this, Christian, because you have been a Mormon, you grew in a Mormon family, they will ask every member of the Mormon to spend 2 years to do ministry.
That's right.
We got people in the church who never share the gospel with anybody. Because I believe the problem is we did not do discipleship.
That's right.
And discipleship is different than just teaching. I know, Brother Paul, you work as a teacher and you taught many students. But you did not teach your students to be teachers. You just teach them whatever material you're teaching in the class. If you're teaching math or English or history or something. But discipleship is different than teaching, because you are teaching the new people about the gospel and making out of them teacher to continue the circle. We dropped that. The church in America dropped that. And I can give you a great evidence. You go to church tomorrow and find how many people in the church tomorrow will attend a Sunday school class. The discipleship is dead in America. A church of 300 people, they may have two small classes from the 25 or 30. That's it. If we have 300 members of the church and we have 300 members in the Sunday school class of different group, different size, different age, youth, young, old, single mom, older mom, single man, whatever, then they will grow in knowing Christ, in loving Christ, and in serving Christ, which means these students in the Sunday school class will go out and reach out to the Lord and make disciples out of them. That is the difference between discipleship and any college degree. College degree, you get your degree to get a job. Discipleship, you become a Christian, you become a strong Christian to make other disciples, who become a Christian to make other disciples. That circle has been broken, sadly, in the church in America. But I'm telling you, there are so many people who have never set a foot in a Sunday school class, because that is the place where we truly grow up. That is the place we can ask some ridiculous question. So if someone is watching me right now and says, well, I am one of those people who never attend the Sunday school class. Well, guess what? You can sit in a church all your life, and you will never raise your hand to ask the preacher a question, because there's no time there to ask a question. And how silly it is to ask the preacher, where is in the Bible this or that? Or I don't understand this or that. These are the questions which you can ask a small group, which is Bible study. Where is the discipleship taking place?
You know, Yusam, I used to enjoy when we'd go to a church and you would say to the congregation, how many of you are here because someone from this congregation shared the gospel with you last week? And you would look for hands, and then you'd say, how about 2 weeks ago? How about a month ago? And
actually,
and you
say, I used to say, maybe my age is not clear.
Yes.
I repeat the question again. How many of you got saved the last year who are here right now in the church? Because somebody in the church, and I was shocked, even I spoke in big churches, maybe two people got saved in a year, a church of 500 people. Two people? I'm sorry. That's why the church in America are heading towards what we call a coma. A church living in a coma. Yes, they're breathing. Yes, they're alive, but they're not really living.
You know, this is the thing, and I love Hatoon's message in listening to the Lord. You have to study. You have to listen to the Lord. And, you know, I used to, when I was on the Christian radio station with Ron, you remember that. I would.
Yes.
I had a program, you know, we had that little saying, what would Jesus do? And I encourage people, when you wake up in the morning, ask the Lord to show you one thing that you can do for him today. Not for your church, not for your family, not for yourself. One thing you can do for Jesus, you make that commitment. Lord, if you'll show me one thing, I promise I will do that today. I said, you know what? God will show you something you can do for him every day. And it's going to be something to bring someone to the knowledge of who Jesus is. You'll be able to share the gospel with someone. But you see, that should be the life of a Christian. And sadly, we have very few people that understand that. They think, oh, I got to go to seminary and I got to learn all this stuff before I can talk to someone about my faith in Jesus. That's a huge misunderstanding. Everyone should be able to talk about it.
I definitely get your question, and that's a very, very valid question. And quite frankly, you will not get a lot of churches. Rather, let me just say, 90% of the churches in the West, you will not get a single person who will stand up and say, hey, I am the one who was saved by this church. They will not do that. My two of my pastors, because I don't go to one church, I go to multiple churches. I am trying to find the right church. They do not let me speak in their churches to the people whom they are supposedly ministering by money, which the church body gives them, and they won't even let me speak to these Muslims. Hey, we don't want to have an argument with them. If you could see my camera right now, we don't want you to make an argument with them. If I won't even speak with them, if I won't even have a nice discussion, a nice argument with them, how will I share them? If Paul would not have done this, if John would not have done this, I told them this. I like, look at what Paul did.
I know the problem. I led that. As a matter of fact, I lived with you, Adam, in one of these stories, so I know it's bad.
No, it's beyond sad, brother. Seriously speaking, I agree whatever you say, but when you say sad, brother, I don't even have an English word for this. These guys are sissified.
Yeah.
Right? They're sissified. I'm not saying anything more.
Because here's the truth, brother. These churches do not want a thing about these churches do not want to shake the boat. Keep the boat smooth, and we don't want to cause trouble. We don't want to cause complication in the church. Then the best thing is don't talk. Don't minister to those pastors. Keep it as it is, moving smooth.
Then why are you giving our hard-earned money to these people?
I don't know.
Like, when we give it to the church, spend it on the Christian, then why are you giving it to the Muslimi? If you are not going to share the gospel with them,
let me answer this for you. Maybe these churches just give us, well, at least we're doing something good to the Muslims by giving them some gifts and some stuff they needed. But that's not love, Muslims. The Bible says, a glass of water in my name.
Yes.
Churches who do ministry to the Muslims by giving them everything except in the name of Jesus, it is waste of money and time. It's literally, you maybe put some comfort on your conscience that you're doing something for the Muslims. But Muslims do not need our money. Muslims do not need to learn English as second language. Muslims don't need the clothes and the food. Muslims need Jesus.
Yes.
That is what they need.
Amen. I'm glad that we're having this talk. It's important for people to see the challenge that we really have in America if we're going to reach Muslims who are now coming to our country in the thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, and we better wake up and realize our options are to abandon our own faith. Are we going to do that? No. But we have to reach these people for Christ. We have to. We don't have any choice.
Yeah. Well, Sister Christy, I will take a quick break. Lord's willing, when we come back, I would like to move to something else. I have a couple slides to share with you to end the life about Jesus. But at the same time, I really, really look forward to one of you guys come up with a very difficult question for Sister Hatoum. You guys have been so nice to her and asked us this soft question. I need hard question. I need her to be embarrassed or
get me. Then before you run the live stream, let me make her think on this.
Yeah.
How will you make the pastor understand and comprehend that we need to have some kind of an argument, discussion, otherwise they already have a Jesus,
yeah,
which is not the Son of God.
That's a good one. That's a hard question. It's a good one. Think about Hatun before we come back. Here we go. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Deception of man.
Over and over, Allah states through his prophets in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation, easy to understand. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth about subject as the creation, the life of the prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and errors of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translators who translated the Quran to the English language hide many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spend several years to produce an accurate modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then begin production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called Prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the dangers, and the deception of Islam. Not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copy and case pricing is available.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you with us. And we are 1 hour and a half. We still less than half hour. And the question was given from Brother Adam to Sister Hatun. And Brother Adam, would you mind repeat the question one more time? So those who just join us now can catch the question before we hear the answer from Sister Hatun.
Yeah, it's a follow-up question of what I told earlier, that the pastors do not want the people to speak with the Muslimin, even the ones that they are ministering to by giving them money. I won't even call them ministering.
Thank you.
How? Thank you. I'm using the air quotes, which you cannot see, unfortunately. To make them understand that you have to have some kind of a discussion, which can be an argumentative discussion, and that might hurt the feeling of the Muslim. Otherwise, you cannot give them Jesus because they already have a false Jesus who is not the Son of God, who is just a prophet.
In the United States,
yes,
we have churches that are taking money, so they are not allowed to share the Word of God. I'm guessing that's also happening in the UK. But
Go ahead, sister.
I don't know if in England that people are paid or encouraged to not share the gospel, but it is difficult to stand on the street and then joining the Christmas time and or joining the street preaching and say that Jesus, Son of God, stepped into the world, or say God become a man. police comes and stops you and you end up in police cell for a couple of hours, apparently because people's feelings are hurt. So there is like this funny thing regarding that. What are the things you can say and read from the Bible when it comes to Jesus? Answering the question, short answer is I really don't know. Long answer or my kind of love thinking version is my heart is not right. My heart is not in right place when it comes to churches, engagement of church with Muslims, and actually engagement of church with the world. My heart is not in right place, and it is something I do pray often that Lord discipline me and help me to see the things from the perspective of my brothers and sisters who are who I disagree with. Biblically, having debates and discussions are something very normal. Questioning people because of their faith and being questioned and having those discussions are very, very kind of biblical things. But in somehow, in 21st century, we are in a place, as Brother Adam said, it is about hurting feelings of people. So we don't say things that their feelings doesn't get hurt. But you must hate those people who don't know Jesus so much, you must hate them so much that you do not tell them what is waiting for them.
So it's not love, really.
If you love someone,
mm-hmm.
by default, you will tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
If you love someone. But you must hate someone so much that you hide the truth. That is, I think, something we need to check in, go to the checkup with our hearts. One of the things I noticed, I'm speaking for Britain. I am involved in, as I said, discipling Muslim background believers, plugging them into churches and encouraging churches to kind of make a commitment of 5 years and going through that discipleship structure with them. I have met with church leaders, our shepherds, who believe God of Bible and God of Islam is the same. I met with church leaders who invited imams to church for their Christmas service so that imam can read Surah 19. Surah 19 is denying everything about Jesus standing. That is the closest passage on the birth of Jesus. I have sat in a places where people simply said, the way we speak to people affect our relationship with them, therefore shut up. I have been in a places where Christians invited Muslims into the church, covered up the crosses and the pictures of Jesus for Muslims to do their prayer and then have their Easter. And that's not only enough, also allowing them to even have birthday party for Muhammad in the church. It wasn't all because those Muslims didn't have a mosque to go. It was because we want to build relationship at the end. Bottom line is, it is all the same. And also I met with brothers and sisters who are in the leadership. They really don't know Islam. In their mind, it's all like whatever BBC teaches, it's all the same, comes from the same God. Or they, like most of church leaders, even Christians, don't know that Islam teaches Jesus didn't die, because in their mind, Jesus historically died. Everyone knows Jesus died. So knowing or hearing that someone tells them Muslims believe Jesus didn't die or Islam teaches Jesus didn't die, it is shocking for them. So no one ever kind of stepped in and then said, brother, this is what Islam teaches. Therefore, you cannot build relationship with Islam. Therefore, we must go out and preach the gospel and allow other Muslims to have the privilege to hear the gospel and repent and turn to Lord Jesus Christ. So some of them really don't know. So in these occasions, it is our job as Christians, we step in. Okay, brother, I noticed that you in this church you've got 500 people and you don't do street preaching. You don't go and preach the gospel to Muslims. Why? And from that, once you know, okay, maybe they don't know about Islam, then just, I've got Brother Usama. Let me arrange. He can come and then teach us what Islam teaches. Oh, I've got this brother. He can come and then teach us how do we do evangelism. Oh, I've got this brother. He can come and spend a month here with us and then help us to set up book tables, help us to go out and reach the Muslims. Those are all skills and they can be learned. I am introvert, task-orientated. 95% of my day, I really don't like humans. But I know God loves them, therefore I have to just get on with it. So you learn the skill.
Is that why you never like me?
So therefore you learn the skill,
yeah,
and you just get on with it. For our brothers and sisters who really don't know what Islam is about. But the ones who know little bit of Islam, or with them, you kind of would expect they should be out and preaching the gospel. I think main reason they don't do it, they know what Islam is kind of almost all about, but they don't deal with Islam. Main reason for that is because their heart is not beating for Jesus. They do not know what Jesus means to them. If I don't know Jesus, if I don't love Jesus, I can't go and tell people about Jesus. If I don't, like, if you don't know about your husband, then someone, you've been married for 5 years, okay? Someone comes and then tells you, oh, tell me about your husband. You can't say, oh, my husband is like 6 foot, this. You need to say something outside of his CV. What he likes, what he looks like, how do you enjoy his company, how do you communicate with one another. If you don't have answers to those questions, you will give the CV of your husband to the person who is asking you. It is a similar with God. If you don't know him, you can't tell others about him, even though you know Islam is false, because you don't know him. That is the time as a Christian we step in, and then we say, what are the things I can help you, I can encourage you to have hunger and desire for the word of God.
Amen.
And then what are the things we can do together that will somehow you let the Spirit of God to sweeten your hearts towards him? And then there is a third group. That's the dangerous group. They know what the Bible teaches. They know if you don't believe in Jesus, there is a serious hell for you. If you believe in Jesus, you will enjoy him forever. They know Islam is dangerous ideology, but they are more concerned on, I don't want to put this in the wrong way because I don't want to kind of cause my brothers and sisters to stumble, but there is something wrong with their first love. Therefore, we become more concerned on feelings of other people. What people are going to think about me? What people are going to say about me? Because we forget our first love. We don't care about anymore what Lord Jesus Christ thinks about us and how he loves us. Be more concerned about, oh, if I say that, it's going to hurt her feelings. It's going to hurt his feelings. Therefore, he might not talk to me. Therefore, people might talk in behind me. We got this earthly human fear, which is very normal. But at the end, you would let your heart to meet with its first lover. That needs to be Lord Jesus Christ. So we do forget to put him first.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, like in Revelation, Scripture talks about very harshly for those who forgot their first love.
Yeah.
There's that danger. How do we deal with our pastors, our shepherds who are in that place? you start hurting their feelings. Once you start hurting the feelings of your pastor, then you start confronting him in a way that, whatever, it's not like confronting that he goes and commits suicide, but confronting in a way that he will go and kneel in front of the cross and then ask for Lord to heal him, discipline him, and ask him for forgiveness. We gently encourage them, or we gently force them to come out with us and then see what we do. I remember in many occasions I brought ex-Muslims to churches who kind of talk so much concerned about feelings, so that they meet with ex-Muslims and then they hear their story, so they will be encouraged, and then we take gentle steps. Oh, let's go and do this. Let's go and do this. If person is not moving forward, and you've been praying about that person, I don't know how else to deal with it, because Lord Jesus Christ didn't think feelings of people were important. He thought truth was matter. Mm. Eternity is matter. And we live in a society, I don't know how it is in the States, but in UK, the gentleman I spoke yesterday, he might end up being female tomorrow. We live in a society, people change their gender, their feelings like every second.
Yes.
We can't put our eternity, and we can't let others to make a decision for others on the behalf of their eternity. Mm. There is a danger in that. I know I haven't answered your question in a way you would expect it, but I really don't know. I don't know what would make someone, like, for me, bottom line is, you can have knowledge on everything, okay? You can believe Jesus claimed to be God. You can believe Jesus died on the cross. You can believe Jesus resurrected. You can memorize whole Bible. You are walking Bible, okay? You can be everything. You can be very nice, very kind, very good person. You can be perfect with making a cup of coffee. You can be perfect in every form or every shape. But if you are not delighting in the Lord, if you are not enjoying in the Lord, if your heart is not beating with him, all those things are just nothing.
Amen.
Amen.
So if I think we need to figure out ways and practical things, how do we have our pastors, our shepherds, so that their hearts reason towards God? Because once yes. that happens, they will, by default, they will stand up for gospel. They will, by default, they will turn to their first love. I am someone who doesn't care that much about feelings, and I know that my leaders are my shepherds are going to give account for me, but bottom line is Jesus comes first. So sometimes we need to step in to confront our brothers and sisters, our leaders. Sometimes we need to step in to encourage them to turn to foot of Christ, cross. Sometimes we need to be there to help them to learn new ways to think through, so that they can simply go out and change their way of thinking, acknowledging that actually, seriously, Islamic Jesus did nothing for humanity versus biblical Jesus gave himself up for humanity.
Yep.
So start with that and then see how it goes.
I get frustrated with some of these churches, with some of these ministers, and I will tell you what I say, but I'm not going to ask you to do what I say or to say what I say. So as you've seen, even in the last commercial I bought, I said we need to share the love of Christ with the Muslims, not only to protect ourselves, but we live in obedience. But when I say protect ourselves, I told so many of these ministers, that's okay. You don't have to share the gospel with the Muslims. They're going to marry your daughters in your church. They're going to marry the American girls to raise the Muslim next generation. And these Muslims, whom you never share the love of Christ with, because you worry about their feelings, they will come back and they will burn your church. Let me say that again. They will come back and they will kidnap your women and your daughters. They will come back and they will do to you what they have done in the history of Islam the last 1,400 years. History repeats itself. If we do not learn from what happened in Egypt, we will see it happen in England or all over Europe, which is exactly what's happening to me. I used to say years ago, when I came to America, literally 70 years ago, America, learn from Egypt. America, you heard me, Christy, saying that. America, learn from Egypt. No, I don't say that anymore. I say America, learn from England. America, learn from France and Germany. America, learn from Canada, just the north of us. And then I say to them, to these ministers, if you have not learned from any of that, you're going to learn when you see your own daughter or your own granddaughter married to a Muslim man or raped by a Muslim man. And then it will be too late. As a matter of fact, I said this many times that I felt like I'm getting used to it. It became a gum in my mouth that that's okay. You don't have to love the Muslim people. They will destroy you. Sadly, this is not a talk. That is a reality. As the people of Europe heard that, what I shared with you right now, by the way, I heard when I was in Egypt, when I was 10 years old, 40 years ago, some of the members in our church, some of my friends, they went to France and they went to England, and they come home to visit with their family. And my dad will ask, so how is the church in England? How is the church in France? Tell me about the growth. And they said, Reverend Dagbach, we have a problem. The church are not doing anything. The church are not ministering to the Muslim people. And the number of Muslims is growing. Actually, they built a new mosque in our community. Oh, a new mosque. How many mosques sit in one corner, since I thought within a mile?
Five miles. It's in a small town, 16 mosques.
In a small town, 16 mosques.
And 2 churches.
And you know what's happening in America now? Oh, Brother Osama, they're building a church now in Mississippi. I said, don't worry. There's going to be 50 churches in your county. Trust me. It will be It will be a mosque everywhere you go in America. Because we're repeating what's happening in Europe. And when you repeat it, you get the same result. So, I don't know. I'm not asking you to scare the daylight out of the churches who are not loving the Muslims, but just tell them, you don't love them today, they'll hate you tomorrow. For real. And they're not going to care worth a dime or a nickel of your feeling. When the Muslim practice what Allah commands them, when they become true Muslim believers, when they have the upper hand, they're going to say, wait a minute. Will this church feeling get hurt if we burn it down to the ground? Will the pastor of the church get hurt if we kidnap his granddaughter? Will this minister be upset? No, they don't care about your feelings because they belong to the devil. You, as the pastor said, and I love how she said it, I do not know how much hate they have to these Muslims to allow them to die without knowing Jesus to spend eternity in hell. That's not worry about the feeling. That's hatred to the Muslims and that's hatred to Christ. But let's turn around before it's too late because guess what? We will harvest whatever we plant.
Can I just ask
as simple as it gets, you're asking them if you want history to repeat itself.
That's true.
Just wanted to add something. I haven't done this since the lockdown started. But before that, it was something very common practice I did. I know it is very bad. Okay, I really know that. But I'll tell you, and then you'll see how you can adopt it. I know it is bad, and I still do it. So when someone becomes a Christian, you turn up to church, and then you talk to the church. You say, okay, I've got this new believer. Would you be willing to disciple this person for next 5 years? Here's what I'm expecting. This is what can I, but these are the things I can offer you. How can we work together? Because at the end, we need to disciple this person. And I don't know how it might work in the U.S. because I don't know the church structure, but in England, so we've got something called Church of England, Protestant body, and I mean, that this archbishop, I would fire him if I had the power, but I don't. Anyway, so you have Church of England, and if a church is under the Church of England church, they made a contract when they can start to become a vicar. So in their contract, it says they are responsible, pastor, the guy who is like preaching in the church, is responsible for every soul in their diocese, in their kind of area, in every soul, okay? And what I do is I do blackmail them. I know it is bad. Or you can say like making sure they feel guilty. You are, dear pastor, you are responsible for not only for souls of people in your church, but souls of everyone in this area. Here is a soul. What are you going to say about this soul when it stands in front of the Lamb of God on the day of judgment?
That's very biblical. I don't think that's bad at all.
That's blackmailing and making people feel guilty.
But you know what's sad? It's sad because you have to do that. But it's the truth.
Yeah, and yeah. That thing is, it works. Like in somehow, like once you kind of say that like, you sign up, your contract says you are responsible for every soul. Here's the soul. I want to pass this soul to you. If you want to have it, here it is. If not, I will rent the place in your area. So she will be like officially will become like a citizen in this village, the official soul in this village, and you have to look after that person.
Just pray and seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and we have shared some weird things with you. We shared some truths with you. I hope and I pray that you will be in tune with the Spirit of God, and however the Lord leads you to do it, just do it. And if not, just
I think it would be really good if someone put together a video, DVD. You know, I know we're having to go low tech because the internet is censoring people now, so they're saying go back to DVDs. But they need to have the testimonies. We've heard some amazing testimonies from Muslims who've become Christians, and they talk about the deep faith that they have and how God and their experience with salvation was such a miracle. I think this is something to inspire Christians to realize what Muslims have is nothing, and what the believer in Christ has is everything. We need to start remembering that.
Amen. That's true. Well, we're only 3 minutes from closing the program. And I don't know, Brother Paul, you have anything you want to share with us before we let you go back with me?
I think I'm going to say the same thing I've been saying before.
Yeah.
If you are a believer in Christ, you need to be at a place where they worship God in spirit and truth. You need to be at a place where the pastor preaches the word of God and not someone who is making nice and, you know, and just spreading love. One that's going to tell you the truth from the word of God. Mm-hmm. So get yourself in that place. If you believe in God, be daring enough to find the right person to preach to you.
Amen.
Time to start leaving the namby-pamby people out there. Leave them alone or start your own church, because this is dangerous. It's a dangerous place for you.
Yep. I agree with you, Brother Paul. Brother Adam, any last word, brother?
Thank you so very much, and thank you, Sister Hatun. And, I can see your struggles, and I can see your answers, and I can understand what you're saying. And at the same time, I get very angry. And,
you know, anger is not sin, by the way. Jesus got angry. Let's make it a pure, righteous anger. And that's
righteous anger.
Well, it is righteous anger because we love the Muslim people. We want them to get saved. And why my church gives them potato and tomato, but they don't give them Jesus? When Jesus said a glass of water has to be given in my name. So it is a righteous anger, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm sorry.
Appreciate your heart. Hopefully someday we can wake up some of the Christians in America to do the ministry right to the Muslim people.
Amen.
I just want to say thank you, Hatun. I really appreciate what you shared with us. Your commitment to Jesus is so obvious. And you know what? We have to be bold. And I want you to know one of my favorite verses is from Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and of a good courage. We don't need to be fearful in the sight of the enemy, because the Lord is with us, and he's put us there for a reason. We need to realize you are the light of the world, and if you're not sharing your light, you're defying what Christ said. He said, don't put your light under a bushel. When you're the light, people will see that. And I appreciate your ministry, Hatun. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Well, Sister Hatun, we'll give you the last 35-40 seconds. How do you like that?
That's fine. Thank you very much for allowing me to jump in and crash your live stream. It's helpful for us to remember that we are made to enjoy our triune God, and
Amen.
God is beautiful and delightful, and He wants to delight with His people. Therefore, I pray that He will continue to work in our hearts and our minds so that we will be people who intend us to be, who are full in love with God, delighted in Him, therefore sees the need of the world for Him. So God bless you all. Thank you very much for having me.
Amen, Sister Hatun. And I apologize about not continuing with our study live in the textbooks, but that's okay. We're on slide 90 from 300 plus, so we're going to have lots of time. By the way, next week, Lord is willing, we'll have with us same team. Sister Hatun will be with us. Brother Adam will be with us, Paul and Christy. And we will maybe come up with a very difficult subject with a harder question. I think we took it so easy on Hatun to master. I'm embarrassing you. But I will figure out some good questions to literally bring some juice out of her. Amen? God bless you guys. Whatever you do, don't leave. The next 3 minutes is the most important 3 minutes in our podcast. So please, if you have not given your heart to Jesus, it is another invitation for another time. Our God is the God of second chances. But if this is your last night to watch this broadcast or last day to watch this broadcast, and you know, listen carefully to what is coming in the next 3 minutes, then what man gained if he won the whole world and lost his soul? We'll see you next Saturday, Lord's willing. Same time, 9 to 11 Central Time in the evening. Thanks, Christy. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Hatun. God bless you all.
Thank you. God bless.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot sin into heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right now, revealing the truth about Islam.